Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Board, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer. Before we get started, we want to thank you for listening. I am Rudy, and co-hosting is my brother Rodrigo.
Hi there, this is Rudy Segura, and today Rodrigo and I will be breaking down the CONCACAF Champions League's kind of like the matchups that are left for the quarterfinals, as well for the Champions League semifinals. Rodrigo, how's it going?
It's going well. I hope everybody's having a good night. This is Sunday, April 18th, and we're starting the show off.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and get started with the quarterfinals matchups. So we have Atlanta United against Philadelphia. This is going to be a pretty good matchup. Obviously, an American team would be the one moving to the next phase after their leg one and leg two matches. But Rodrigo, do you want to kind of give an idea of Philadelphia's run or Atlanta United's, whichever one you prefer?
I'll start with Atlanta United. Honestly, to me, they seem one of the slowest teams to get this going. I thought Alajuelense had done a great job, especially on the first game, to keep it just 1-0. We obviously know about the red card that they suffered. Atlanta United did. And it kept it, I guess, a lot closer. But honestly, looking at the second leg, there was not much change. I feel Atlanta United is still trying to get that rhythm going early on in their season against Alajuelense, a team that it's already in competition and pushing through. To me, not much excitement out of this match as I expected. And then with Philadelphia Union, really surprising match in the second leg, more than all, beating Saprissa 4-0. I did not expect this. I honestly thought Saprissa was going to keep it a lot closer than they did. And they go on to the next round to face Atlanta United that I'm not confident that they can go through, I would say. I honestly, on this one, I picked Philadelphia Union to be the favorite to win it.
Yeah, I think Atlanta United, you're right, they started pretty slow, but it's one of those teams that are so stacked. They have so many stars compared to the team that they faced. So it was just a matter of time that they would show that and just pull. I mean, all you need is to win, right? It may be ugly, but they did that. And then with Philadelphia, the first leg with Saprissa looked kind of tight, and then out of nowhere at home, they just had this massive advantage, I guess, playing at home, at home field. And 4-0 against Saprissa is a pretty big task, man. But yeah, this matchup, I don't know. I would like Philadelphia. It looks like they've been playing much better, especially last year, winning being the best team in MLS, falling short, obviously, in the playoffs. But Atlanta United, I feel like they have a couple more weeks to get some matches under their belt, and we should see what leg one entails. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting matchup. This one, and we'll break it down more in detail next time, but do you want to, or I'll continue to the next matchup real quick, which will go into the Toronto FC and Cruz Azul. Toronto played very well against a very good squad of León. They went home and got the 2-1 victory over this Liga MX rival. And they were very impressive. I think they came shooting with all cylinders, or at least they were trying to. And again, it's one of those that they just had to make sure they got points at home, or mostly the win at home. And it's impressive the type of team now they're going to play with Cruz Azul, which in the very first podcast that we did, I mentioned how Cruz Azul playing the team from Haitia, Arcaín. It may get pretty out of hand, and it definitely the first match was 0-0, which was very surprising. But even with playing with the B team at home in the second leg, I mean, you can totally see the difference in the squads. I mean, they won 8-0. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. Anything you want to add, Rodrigo? I think I went through pretty much everything.
No, that's fine. I do want to bring a couple of things. So yeah, with Toronto FC, I really thought Leon was going to pull through on this one. They seemed like the better team. They were the better team. Toronto just finished their opportunities. Second game was crazy. I think both teams had a lot of shots on target and they had a lot of creation opportunities, but Leon could not put them away. Toronto FC obviously did what they needed to do, and that's why they're going to the next round. So this was impressive for me, for the Toronto side, which is good. For the Cruz Azul Arca High, so yeah, like you mentioned, first leg, you know, Arca High playing at home, they kept them at a 0-0, since still there, and then going to Mexico City, Cruz Azul showed up with similar team that they had. Honestly, there was really no big starters, and this time around, they ended up putting 8 goals in. But I do want to highlight a couple things from this, and this matchup gave us a lot. Maybe not on as far as like a match, but a lot of things to highlight on. So Arca High FC, you know, small team from Haiti, and they almost did not play the second leg. They were so close to forfeiting the match because with their low income team, they were not going to make it to Mexico. So CONCACAF actually let them borrow $60,000 to make this trip. I was reading out that it takes about $130,000 for teams to travel, which that's a really big expense. Another thing, the goalkeeper who kept a clean sheet ended up, his passport got wet, could not get another one in time for this. So he actually did not travel with the team. And also their midfielder, I believe his name is Wilmain Exum. Once they landed in Mexico, he deserted the team before the game started. And then I believe after the game, two more players did. So this just kind of like highlights how tough it is for, you know, teams like in Haiti and just the people in their country, how hard it is it's for them. I was reading that, I believe William Wilmain was talking about how, you know, his living conditions, even as a pro soccer player, obviously they're not going to be making much, but their dream is to obviously get out of there in terms of, you know, what they can do in soccer, maybe playing in the Mexican league or the MLS. And so yeah, their living condition is not the best, so he decided to leave the team, and this is one of those things that kind of affects the team as a whole. And lastly, just even though Cruz Azul ended up scoring 8 goals, it was nice to see how in soccer, the biggest thing after a game is you want to be able to do the jersey exchange. You want to do the jersey exchange. Obviously, with their low income, they can't afford to do that. And this team gave it their all. You can see them on their pitch. You know, they were frustrated. They were, I believe I saw the goalkeeper who was, you know, crying. I'm sure, you know, that's their chance to get. And Cruz Azul actually just accepted to do the jersey exchange without giving, without taking their jersey, just because they need their jersey for, you know, other games. So I don't know. Just overall, it's like a feel good story from Arca High and seeing how they compete and just bringing, you know, a highlight into this soccer world of like CONCACAF, low income teams that we hope to get players from those regions and those teams to show up in next tournaments. And now with Toronto FC, Cruz Azul, I think we'll see a pretty good match there.
Yeah, no, that was a good back information that honestly I didn't see, but it's really, really good to know. Like you said, it's those stories that kind of make what CONCACAF is. A lot of us do come from low means and then eventually have that quote-unquote American dream. But I mean, everybody's kind of out there fighting to get known or be known or fight for their dreams. So that's really cool. But we'll go ahead and move to the Columbus-Monterey matchup. Columbus, man, like they came out firing literally all kinds of goals against Real Esteli in the first matchup. But they brought their B team the second leg, right? They, I guess they were like, we should be good. They got that 1-0 win. They rested a lot of their players, especially with an upcoming match this weekend. And then Monterrey, they went out and just played their game, beat Atlético Pantoja 3-1. You had goals from the Holland men, Jansen, and you know, it's just a fun game. I think, like I mentioned in the past, I think Monterrey is going to play to win, and they want to do what Tigres did last season by winning it and going far. I believe that is something that they're definitely willing to go through. But this Columbus Monterrey match is not going to be an easy one for Monterrey for sure. But Rodrigo, you want to add a little bit more?
No, like you mentioned, yeah, Columbus came out there the first leg and put four goals away and really just closed the whole game for them. Second game, I believe, what's his name? Wright Phillips was the main talking point of this match with the lone goal there. And that's what they needed to do is go to the next round. A draw would have been fine with them, but, you know, the win always feels good to have, beating Pantoja 3-0 away and then honestly just putting it, you know, making it a little bit better for them. So I think this matchup is probably going to be one of the most exciting of the next leg. Columbus looks strong. I still see them as a favorite to go on and maybe win this tournament. Monterrey, I know they want to get back to be the, you know, better than Tigres, and Tigres won it last year. So I know they want to go to the next round as well. So I can see this as being the best matchup we're going to have this coming round.
Yeah, I think it's funny because Columbus played this weekend against Philadelphia, which is obviously another team in this quarterfinals, and they both tied 0-0, both of them playing their like best 11, basically. So yeah, it's funny to see that. But yeah, we should see what this is about, and we'll break it down a little bit more next week. Next matchup is Portland against Club America. Portland, man, had like a good lead. Well, that tied 2-2 against Marathon playing in Honduras. They look a little sluggish at first. They had some decent goals that kept them alive. And then playing at home, they went crazy. And like we say in Spanish, no hay quinto malo. There's not a bad fifth goal. And they went 5-0 playing at home. And the guy that kind of was very impressive that matchup was Jimmy Chara. He scored a hat trick. But honestly, the entire team was just subpar to Marathon's team, which me and Rodrigo were going at it in the sense of I hadn't even checked that a few players like Emilio Izaguirre from Honduras was playing with this team. Same with Luis Garrido, which he also played in MLS. But yeah, it was just kind of funny to see that that short lead, the 2-2, become a 7-2 aggregate for Portland. And Portland, again, is very impressive, and they're always very good at home. And then now they'll be facing Club America, which Club America look good overall. I mean, they play with most of their players, and I think they played probably the toughest opponent when it came to the round of 16 matches, being Olimpia. Olimpia is not an easy team to play. We all know Honduras is a very difficult place to play, and even playing at home, I mean, we saw it. Obviously, Olimpia beat America 1-0, which is not very common for somebody to come to Mexico City and get a win. Rodrigo, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. Did not expect Portland to come out as they did. I mean, they basically went back to the drawing board base, basically, and put a team together that were outstanding. I mean, they came out on fire. They were firing on all cylinders. But, you know, like you said, Jimmy Chara and that was going a hat trick. And then even Diego Valeri had a goal there to, you know, finish this game off 5-0. Marathon did not show their first, you know, level intensity they showed in the first leg. And then the other match with Olimpia America, yeah, this was the closest game we had overall. I mean, it was going to be the toughest one. Both teams have been doing excellent. America beating Olimpia 2-1 the first leg, and then Olimpia actually getting that 1-0 win in Mexico City. Unfortunately, because of the away goal rule, America went through, but this was a good match overall. I really thought America was going to try to do more here, but they were happy to go through. And now Portland America, that's going to be a good match. We'll see how these two teams go at it. We'll just expect to see both teams put their best teams forward.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's very good. So with that, we conclude, I guess, our talk in the quarterfinal leg one matchups for CONCACAF Champions League. We hope to break it down. These games will be happening on Tuesday, April 27th, and Wednesday, April 28th. And I'm sure before these games happen, we'll break them down a little bit more inside. Hopefully we have an idea of maybe some injuries or some players missing. They can be a factor on these matches. Before we go on, we want to thank our sponsor. Located about a mile away from Space Center Houston, find the All Pros Barbershop at 999 East NASA Parkway. Luis and his team will hook you up with a fresh haircut and a clean beard trim. Give them a call at 832-240-4267 or book your appointment online via Booksy. Make sure to follow them on Instagram to see their amazing work. Again, that is All Pros Barbershop, changing lives one haircut at a time. We'll go ahead and move on to another favorite Champions League matchup, which this time is UEFA Champions League. We'll start with the semifinal of Real Madrid versus Chelsea. We'll start with Real Madrid. Real Madrid ended up the second leg tying 0-0 against Liverpool. And Liverpool did not find a way. They're very frustrated. I'm sure Rodrigo will break it down a little bit more, being that this is one of his favorite teams. Real Madrid did what they could, playing in Anfield to keep the match in their favor and just basically drag out the 90 minutes to see them move to the semifinal. And Chelsea also had a tough matchup against Porto. Chelsea playing at home, and Porto ended up being able to score a goal on them, keeping the aggregate obviously 2-1, letting Chelsea pass on through. We did see Tecatito Corona actually play pretty much most of the game. He did get subbed out. He got a yellow card. A lot of frustration there too. They did their best, but they fell short. Rodrigo, what do you want to add on that? I know you probably have a lot of Liverpool talk.
No, I'll just keep the Liverpool talk kind of short. Like you mentioned, Liverpool went after it. They tried to get at least two goals. That's all they needed. They could not finish, and that's been a problem all season long. They kept the possession the most. They had Real Madrid backed into a corner for most of the game. They just could not get their shots on target. They could not finish anything. And on the other end, Real Madrid had a couple opportunities where Alisson actually had two good saves to keep it going. But unfortunately, the forwards could not do their job. And obviously, Madrid is going to the next round. For the Chelsea-Porto game, did you watch the goal that Porto scored. It was just a sick bicycle.
Yeah, but the guy from like a last minute Iranian really. Guy, right? Was it the Iranian that scored?
Yeah, Mehdi.
Yeah.
Mehdi Taremi. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a beautiful goal. I mean, if you like soccer, that's one of the best you can see there. Unfortunately, you know, it was last minute. There's really nothing else they can do because they need at least one more goal. That didn't happen. And I think, I can't remember if it was this game. I think Christian Pulisic ended up scoring a goal, but I think they ruled it. I don't know if it was offsides or it was something. I can't remember if it was this one. But anyways, you know, he got some playing time as well. And that's about it on this match.
Yeah, and then so we'll move again. Very good, interesting matchup with Real Madrid Chelsea. Again, well, actually, this one will also be played on Tuesday, April 27th, and we'll probably break it down a little bit more as well next week, and just talk a little bit more about this matchup. We're kind of exciting as things start finalizing, but we can't get to a final without another semifinalist, right? So PSG playing Man City. This is definitely the matchup of the deep pockets. Two teams that spend a ton of money to get great players. PSG ended up losing to Bayern Munich on the second match. And with the away goals, we mentioned how important those away goals are. And they did come in handy, especially for Club America, like we mentioned just a little bit while ago, and obviously for PSG, that winning goal or away goal is very, very helpful when you need it. Gives you a good break. But and then Man City, the other team that ended up beating Dortmund, and this matchup, I mean, Man City is still trying to keep a hold of the EPL, and I'm sure they have a ton of pressure, mostly to win the Champions League, especially with all the money they spend. But they've been playing well. I don't think there's not a lot bad that you can say about Pep Guardiola's team. But Rodrigo, what do you want to add to that matchup?
Yeah, I enjoy watching PSG play Bayern. They went out there. I mean, I don't know if you saw how well Neymar has been playing. Kind of gave me some Ronaldinho vibes. You know, he seems happy out there alongside Mbappe. I never really enjoyed watching Neymar that much, to be honest. You know, he has a bad, I guess, rep that he built where, you know, they used to foul him a lot and he spent a lot of time on the ground. But now, I don't know, he just seems happy. He's actually doing some Joga Bonito kind of plays, and it was enjoyable to watch. PSG gave a strong defense with Kaylor in the back. So he's a great goalkeeper. I believe they had about five shots or so, Banger did. And, you know, he was great, a great player for them, keeping the, I guess, a low scoring game. And then on the other side of things, Man City, Dortmund. I really wanted Dortmund to go through. Man City, obviously the better team. Like you mentioned, Pep. He knows how to be that, you know, coach that can play through anything and find a way to win. And he's shown that with a recent streak of, I forgot how many, 20-something unbeaten games, I guess. And the, like you mentioned, you know, this next game is going to be PSG Man City. The matchup, I guess, the richest. And what he said, you know, when they asked him about, like, how do you keep a consistent, you know, team to win? And he's like, well, we have money. And, you know, he said it jokingly, but we all know, you know, like, yeah, you have money. And he even said, we can afford the best players and we can keep buying players to keep this rhythm, which is true. You know, every team wants that. So it's going to be interesting watching Man City, PSG, who can reach the final and who can maybe get that Champions League. Like we always joke around of like, who can buy themselves a Champions League.
Yeah, I think the better final would have been PSG Man City, right? Like if you could have wrote it, it'd probably be that, just because they definitely be the money hungry clubs trying to win the trophies. But I mean, we can't blame them, right? There's a lot of or there's plenty of other teams that may have the money and the means, but they don't win anything. So at least these guys are kind of doing their thing and getting far. And yeah, man, Neymar has been on fire. Hopefully he can stay healthy for the remaining of the season, which we all know that he is a very pivotal player for his teams, either for PSG when he was in Barcelona and even when Brazil. But yeah, so those are the two matchups that we're looking at. And again, PSG, Man City, they play Wednesday, April 28th at 2 p.m. We want to move on real quick. We are going to start trying to maybe, I don't know if we'll necessarily do previews of certain matches, but we'll definitely do recaps of matches played for teams like in Liga MX, MLS. We talked about maybe the Honduran League, the Costa Rican League, and anyways, we're trying to pick some matches that we can kind of, that are very important matches in those leagues. But with that being said, the league that started on Friday was actually the MLS. And being that we are in America, the MLS, if you're a soccer fan, I think it's a league that you really need to put some attention. Yes, we all kind of grew up with following our own leagues in our own country, as well as following teams that play in Europe. But I mean, if you happen to be lucky enough to have an MLS team in your backyard, I would definitely say go check them out. You know, I have the Houston Dynamo. Rodrigo, being in Dallas, currently has the FC Dallas there. And with that segue, we talk about the new team being Austin, who faced LAFC Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, we'll break it down a little bit. I know that they played yesterday, so yeah, Saturday. So LAFC ended up winning 2-0. They actually didn't have as much possession as I thought they would have, but it makes sense with seeing Carlos Vela leave the field pretty early on. But they had plenty of shots on target. They had 9 compared to Austin's 3, and they had 24 shots compared to Austin's 12. But yeah, they were just taking care of business, and it was good to see, I guess, Hollywood meets Austin with all the celebrities. And you know, Austin may start off with a little bit of a rough patch playing LAFC. They play Colorado, Minnesota. So they have like a lot of tough matches for sure. But Rodrigo, what did you think? And I don't know if you want to mention anything else about Carlos Vela and his injury, or, you know, I guess I don't know if there's an injury report yet on him. But anyways, Rodrigo?
Yeah, I know this. Like I said, Austin FC, the newest team in the MLS, they're always going to come in, you know, looking a little bit, I guess, under from other teams, since it's always a team that they just kind of put together from, you know, they get picks from other teams and obviously the draft too. So they're going to start kind of slow. I see them starting in the same kind of field as like Cincinnati and Nashville that we've seen, that they just kind of slowly start growing off the bat. I don't see, I mean, they could be the surprising team of the year, but I think they're going to start out kind of rough. LAFC dominated more of the game in terms of chances creation, like you mentioned, those 24 shots, 9 on target, a big part, even though they didn't keep possession. And most of that, like you said, Vela injury, 22 minutes in. I think it's more like a muscle injury. I haven't looked at the injury report yet, but I don't think it's anything major.
Yeah, we hope that's the case for sure. I mean, Carlos Vela, Obviously, we talked about them a lot in our special episode about our CONCACAF 11, our best 11, as he is a very good player for any team that he plays in. So when he's not healthy or he's not fit, it does make a big difference in a lot of the teams. And I think also another good player that LAFC missed was Rossi. And Rossi is a very good player as well. So having Bella and Rossi out, it's definitely difficult for the team. Luckily, they did have the young guy that picked up from Real Salt Lake, Corey Bird. And yeah, I mean, overall, the team looks pretty similar to what they had. So I still, they will have a successful season. Would that mean they'll win a championship? Is definitely too early to call. But hopefully they can get Bella down. And then we'll move to another matchup. We'll move to Inter Miami playing against Galaxy, LA Galaxy. It's a fun match because I guess we may have a name of like maybe the Beckham Classic or something similar. With Beckham being the owner of Inter Miami and playing his MLS team of LA Galaxy. Galaxy ended up taking the win this time, winning 3-2. And Chicharito was just playing very well. Got two Chicharito-type goals in the 62nd and 73rd minute. But it was also good to see Gonzalo Higuain scoring. And hopefully he continues that run because both of these guys lacked a lot of what a lot of people expected from them last year. But yeah, I mean, Inter Miami had so many shots on target. Well, they had so many shots on 19 and 8 on target. And Galaxy had 6 shots and 5 on target. So that means that their percentage was amazing for scoring, right? But Galaxy held all the possession. So yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know. What do you think, Rodrigo?
I really enjoy watching this game. Like you mentioned, Chicharito had a lot of expectations to fill. Galaxy didn't start well at all. I believe he missed the PK the first game. Didn't score until a couple of games later. And having a brace in his first game, that's a big boost to him and to the team, starting off on the right foot there. And yeah, Higuain, he gave that assist in the first half. Honestly, he could have put that away himself, and then he had the penalty. But unfortunately, Galaxy took this one in their home. And this is exciting. I like this LA Galaxy team. Seems like going to be a good contender this season. And we just hope to have Chicharito back in form and be healthy. And, you know, I guess maybe we'll see him back in the national team.
Yeah, we know how much we love Chicharito on the national team. Yeah, for sure. He's the leading scorer in Mexico. And he's always fun to watch because you don't know what type of goal he's going to score. And the last one or the last matchup we want to talk about are basically our home, Houston. Houston Dynamo played on Friday. They won 2-1 against the San Jose Earthquakes. Good matchup. And also the women in Houston Dash played as well. They tied 0-0. That's their second game. And they've been looking well. They just haven't been able to score. They have a lot of internationals out. But again, we just want to touch base. That we are from Houston. We like talking a little bit of Houston sports, well, Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash soccer. But if you want more detailed on those two matches, I would recommend you check out dynamotheory.com. That is dynamotheory.com. Check them out. The guys there do a great job with their articles, keep you in touch with both the Dynamo and the Dash. So yeah, definitely check them out and check out their podcast as well with Cuatro Cuatro Dos. He does a good job as well, breaking down the team. Rodrigo wants to add one more thing.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on, like we mentioned on our last special podcast with the whole CONCACAF Best 11. I just want to highlight a few players around the leagues from CONCACAF. One of them being Leon Bailey, the Jamaican that we mentioned. He actually had a really good game this weekend at Leverkusen versus Köln. He scored a brace and had an assist as well. In that same league, we had a Dortmund versus Werder. And Giovanni Reyna had an amazing goal there as well. So just want to bring some stuff out there. Chelsea ended up playing the semi-final for the FA Cup against Man City. And we saw Zach Steffen there, the goalkeeper. And I believe Pulisic also had some minutes on that as well. And then Alphonso Davies with Bayern Munich. He was part of the win over Wolfsburg that also had John Brooks in center back. Just a little, you know, Bayern Munich ended up winning 3-2. And that's some of the games that I've noticed. Oh, another one, Barca against Atletico Bilbao for the Copa del Rey final. Sergiño Des picked up the title with that one.
Did he play 90 minutes, I think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know he started.
Yeah. And they ended up winning 4-0.
But with that being said, we are pretty much done for tonight.
Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. And if you have suggestions for an episode or you want to be featured, reach out to us on Twitter at Borders Soccer and at Crossing Soccer Borders on Instagram. Thanks again and see you next time.